Now, for many years, Sydney's King's Cross was the place to be. No matter where you lived in Australia, you knew it. And when Stuart Coupe first visited the Cross as a young journo, he was mesmerised by the cast of characters walking the streets. He heard the name Abe Saffron, sometimes whispered, sometimes in the news, but always with a larger-than-life quality. So who was Saffron? In Saffron Incorporated, the new book by Stuart Coupe, we delve into how show business and the underworld are intrinsically linked. From nightclub fires, corrupt cops, illegal gambling, to drugs, standover men, and gangland shootings. And how one man, known as Mr. Sin, would lay the foundation for more than 50 years of intrigue, murder, and mayhem. It is my honour and pleasure to welcome Stuart Coupe to the 2SER Breakfast Studio. Hey, Stuart, how are you?
Lovely to be here, Danny. I'm good.
Congratulations on the new work.
Thank you.
Saying that it's been quite a run for you there, literature-wise, for the last little while.
I counted it up the other day, and it's like been 8 books in the last decade, which is scary even by my love of work and writing. So maybe it's time for a little bit of a break after this one. We'll see. But I've said that before.
Is this a book you've been wanting to write for quite some time?
I've wanted to write something that's not strictly a rock and roll orientated book, even though there's a lot of rock and roll in this. You know, previously I've done books on Michael Gudinski and Paul Kelly and so forth in my memoir a couple of years ago. But this intrigued me for a couple of reasons. Partly, I got the idea when I was watching a show on the ABC, which was trying pretty unsuccessfully to pin the Luna Park fires on Abe Saffron.
Right.
I'm not saying that Saffron didn't have an involvement, but I'm just going, what's going on here? I'm not sure that there's a lot of evidence for these claims.
Yeah.
So that got me started thinking about Saffron and the fact that he is just linked with anything that's happened over the last 40, 50 years in the criminal world. Oh, Abe must have been involved. You know, people say, well, he was responsible for the disappearance and death of Juanita Nielsen, the Luna Park fires, many, many other things. I've started to blame him for the fact that the Swans aren't in the AFL Grand Finals this year, even though he's been dead for quite a long time.
But still,
why not? It's Abe. Yeah. Fault. So I wanted to have a look, Danny, at the Abe Saffron, try and work out who he was, what he was, what he did, what maybe he didn't do. Particularly since he's died, he's kind of like, you know, the pin-up boy for every aspect of crime in that era. And a lot of it he was very, very, very involved in, and some other things I'm not so sure about. And as you mentioned, I came to Sydney, Launceston via Adelaide, not exactly the entertainment hubs of the universe, in 1978. But prior to that, a couple of years earlier, I'd come to Sydney and been taken on a drive through King's Cross. So this is mid-70s King's Cross. Glitz, cars, lights, people. I went, wow, you know, like, Adelaide is pretty quiet. Launceston's a lot quieter. And I'm seeing this driving through on a Saturday night, the Cross in its absolute zenith. And I'm going, oh, wow. And then, you know, then I moved up here for a little period of time. I lived around the Cross. Of course, I was around there all the time. Every second day, it seemed like I was going to the Siebel townhouse to interview a rock star.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Bay, technically, let's call it King's Cross. Yeah. I had to walk through
Close enough. King's Cross.
Far too many nights of my semi-youth stumbling out of the Mansell Room and Benny's and the Rex Hotel and various other dens of iniquity in the Cross very early in the morning. And in fact, I had pause to think that one of the nicest times in King's Cross was actually that very early morning. Usually the Cross was in better shape than I was. But, you know, you'd see the street sweepers coming down the main drag, clearing all the debris from the night before. There was a certain calmness and delightful quietness about the Cross in those days. But I figured that during my sex, drugs and rock and roll time, I was inadvertently probably rubbing shoulders with all of these nefarious, pretty dodgy characters. And so I was keen to sort of rationalise my experience of King's Cross in that era with the fact that walking around the streets were the likes of Abe Saffron and many, many other people. You know, I found out while I was researching the book that you know, Abe and I went to the same bank. We both shared the ANZ bank in the centre of King's Cross. And then I started to wonder, because one of the things I realised researching this book is Abe Saffron was very understated. He was part of his ability to survive for so long was he wasn't ostentatious. He wasn't parading around looking like the stereotype of an organized crime figure. And I'm going, I wonder if I was standing in the queue with him waiting for a teller back in the good old days at the ANZ Bank in the Cross, you know, and the stuff in the book about his connection with the Mansell room. Now, you know, I was there every second night and, you know, was Abe just hanging around? Was he in the back room counting money? I don't know, because my head was all about what band was on and fun and good times. And of course, three quarters of the buildings and places that I was going into were owned by Abe Saffron. I mean, he owned so much real estate in King's Cross.
I imagine you probably had to, as part of the research for this book, talk to some pretty scary people. When you're writing a book about Paul Kelly, retribution might not be so much on your mind with what you're writing. But with a book like this, is it sort of a concern for you where you're like, oh, geez, I better not?
Not so much. I mean, I didn't interview a lot of people for the section on Saffron, which is about, you know, two-thirds of the book, mainly because they're no longer with us. Mm. You know, I mean, most of those people have passed on. But the last third of the book is about the rock and roll and entertainment world sometimes while Saffron's still alive and then post-Saffron. And there's some areas where that book goes into that I had to be very careful. The lawyers removed significant slabs of that portion of the book. So, you have to be very, very careful, both in a defamation sense when you're writing a book like this. And of course, as people said, ooh, are you a bit worried writing about these characters? So, look, you have to be careful. Am I going to be looking over my shoulder every time I walk around the streets, you know, after dark for the next 6 months? Maybe not much more than I usually would. I'm a fairly cautious individual.
Yeah, fair enough. It's very exciting, though, and it must be such an achievement to finish a work like this and just be like such an important chapter in local history.
Look, I mean, I guess when I look back on all of the books that I've written, particularly over the last decade, you know, they're all about preserving stories that need to be preserved. Yeah. Now, you know, I'm not the first person to tackle Abe Saffron. Tony Reeves and Duncan McNabb have both written, terrific books about Saffron, which I relied on a lot for my book. Louis Nara, terrific books about King's Cross. Again, an invaluable reference for me during the course of writing my book. My stuff, which is new, probably is my take on Saffron. I really focus on Saffron's connection with the entertainment industry. You know, his partnership with Lee Gordon in the late 50s and early 60s, bringing dozens and dozens of international artists to Australia, including Frank Sinatra. And then the continuum from there. And then, you know, I'm probably the first person to write directly about the Mr. Asia Syndicate and their connection with the rock and roll scene in Sydney and Australia in the 70s and into the 80s. You know, I posit that for syndicates like Mr. Asia, and this has been backed up by a whole bunch of people I've talked to, the main way that they got their illicit cargo around Australia was, you know, in the back of trucks driven by road crews. if you want to move stuff, and I'm not going to name bands or anything like that, but and often the bands, or more often than not, you know, the bands would have no idea, and possibly other people that worked on those crews would have no idea. Yeah. But if you want to get a package from point A to point B, you don't want to put it on a plane. You don't want to put it in the back of a car, because if you do get stopped, they're going to say, open the boot.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to put it on a bus. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to bury it in the back of a W bin along with a huge amount of musical equipment. And if the truck gets stopped, you know, the driver's speeding or something like that, you know, what are the chances of the cops saying, hey, why don't you just unload that whole truck? We've got some screwdrivers here, and we're going to spend a couple of days going through everything. So, you know,
I think that sound you can hear now is several old rock and rollers just going to check their bass amps.
Yeah, to see what's there. They could be in for a little windfall. Yeah,
could be it, right? Christmas could come early. Now, you're doing a book tour in promotion of the new work, Saffron Incorporated. You were there at Glee Books last night. You're going to be, firstly, at the Bad Sydney Crime Writers Festival at the Sydney Mechanics School of Arts on 12th of September.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that because I'm doing that panel with Louis Naira. And, Louis Naira knows as much as anyone could possibly know and probably more about the history of King's Cross. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Indeed. And also another big one coming your way will be the Petersham Bowling Club on the evening of Thursday, 25th of September, where you'll be in conversation with Michaela Kalowski.
Which I'm looking forward to immensely, partly because the Petersham Bowling Club is my local and it's about 7¾ seconds walk from my home. And also Michaela is such a fantastic person to have a conversation with. We did one at the Petersham Bowling Club when my memoir, Shake Some Action, came out. And I've talked with her a number of times over the years. And that's always a, where's this conversation going to end up type of encounter. So I'm really looking forward to that.
And tons more stuff. King's Cross Library on Thursday, 16th of October. State Library on 21st of October. I will put the links for all of these events up. And, of course, Saffron Incorporated, available now in all good bookstores.
Perfect Father's Day present. That's what I meant to say. So,
just quietly.
Just if you're thinking, just putting it out there. Yeah. Don't call this a shameless hustle to buy my book, but it is.
Stuart Cooper, it is an absolute honour and pleasure to have you on here. And of course, when you're not talking books, you'll of course be on the airwaves here on 2SER from 1 p.m. every Saturday afternoon for Dirt Music. How's the show going?
I think it's going good. It's been a long time now. It's like 15 odd years. And I love it. It's I love community radio. I love 2SER. And, people like you and I, Danny, we are so fortunate to have the opportunity to talk, play music, engage with, share stuff with a listener. You know, it's an absolute privilege to have a show on the radio, and I get to play lots of music I love, and it's I enjoy it immensely, and I hope I can continue to do it for a long time.
We certainly hope so too. It's one of the jewels in the crown of 2SER. Always a great Saturday afternoon here on 2SER, of course, with Pretzel Logic, with Susan Stewart. It's wonderful to have you here in the studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Lovely to be on the other side of the microphone for change.